This is Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio Channel 869.
60 Plus is brought to you by Methodist Homes for the Aged. Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome to another episode of 60 Plus. This is your host, Kelvin Glenn, and I'm very privileged to have in studio with me Dr. and Mrs. Sandman. And for those of you that turn back time will remember that our guests were very involved in the media when the story broke in 2007 when their son, Mark Sandman, was tragically murdered on the night of his wedding. It was early morning, the next morning, where he was murdered by intruders when him and his newly wed wife were on honeymoon at a hotel north of Pretoria. This tragedy has sparked for Dr. and Mrs. Sandman to become advocates around working with the importance of dealing with death and bereavement. And obviously for any of us, to lose a child must be the most horrific thing for anybody. And we're very privileged that they're here today to share their testimony and share their experience and hopefully empower you as listeners if you've lost a loved one on how to deal with that. So Dr. and Mrs. Sandman, welcome and thank you for joining us on 60 Plus.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
What inspired, it's a crazy question, but why write a book on the tragedy of your son being murdered, Dr. Sandman?
Well, thank you, Calvin. Before I answer that question, I would just like to thank you very much for Sonia Smith of the Sonia Smith Funeral Group and Calvin of the Methodist Homes for the Aged for inviting Heather and myself to be here. It's truly a privilege. The reason why I wrote this book is actually a testimony. It's all about how God helped us to restore our family completely. It's his story, and therefore it is a very powerful testimony. It's his power is encapsulated in that book. And the idea is that because we were helped with this grace and with this power and this healing, we would like to pass that on to those who need it. And if God can help us, he can help anybody. He has got no favorites. And that is the prime objective then of that book, to help others.
Wow. And in writing the book, has that helped you with what you've been through in dealing with Mark's passing?
Absolutely. It's quite a healing process, and this is actually the underlying principle in all of the healing process is writing and talking and getting it out of your system and getting it out there. And the more you write, the more you talk, the greater the healing process.
Sure. And as a mom, I'm sure any of our listeners that are moms must have goosebumps, because as a mom, it must be difficult. How did you deal with this tragic event, and how has the process of healing been for you over the last couple of years? I don't think you ever get over it, but how do you manage every day, and how do you heal through this? How do you forgive?
I must say it was quite a privilege to belong to a Christian school where I could share with my students about some of the trauma they experienced at school daily and issues that they have to work with. So not focusing on myself, but being able to identify with some of their pain and some of my friends who could not deal with the pain surrounding our family. It was an excellent opportunity to have weekly get-togethers with my family, with friends, and be able to work through it, especially at the church where Mark and Nina were married. It was quite traumatic for them. And to be able to deal with that, with the trauma counseling that we had, focusing on your own situation only sometimes makes it worse. You need to look at other people that are hurting around you, and then somehow you can cope with that so much better.
Sure. Thank you for sharing. And I think for me, what is important, what's coming out, is that you've turned something that was, the average person would say, is very tragic and would make most of us very angry and want to get back at the murderers and just, it's not right. Your child should not be murdered on their wedding night. But you've turned that into a lovely positive of, you're not living in negativity and despair. You've turned that into an opportunity to help others.
That's right.
What was that, a calling that you believe was in you before this happened, or was it the tragic event that changed your thinking?
Well, Calvin, I think it was there already, because part of our testimony is that we surrendered our lives to God 30 years ago, and we've been having a very close relationship with Him. And we've come to realize that you cannot do without God. That's the bottom line. Man cannot save himself. And if you try, the attempts are futile. And we discovered that by relying on God and by relying on the Word in the Bible, there is He is so powerful. And as we rested in Him, He just took care of all the pain, of all the obstacles that were in our way. Mm-hmm. And we could just move forward through His power. And we just want to pass on and show people how to link up with God to receive His healing power, so they can also move on.
But how, you know, I hear what you're saying, but as a parent, if your child's been murdered on his wedding night, how do you forgive, in the sense of, the first thing I'd be is be angry with God. How can you do this to me? You know, this is my child on his wedding night. He had his whole life ahead of him. He didn't, you know. How do you forgive and accept that and not be angry?
Well, that is something I dealt with in the section where a mother shares her feelings. Because I ranted and raved so in the hospital that half the cripples that were in the waiting room actually up and left, because they thought I was far more traumatized than they were. And I was raving. I was ready to murder someone in the hospital. And then I said, well, you know, Lord, we Christian family, we've prayed about this. This is such a blessing, a blessed occasion, and we chose this place, having peace. And now, what's happened? And the Lord said, well, you know what? I had to give up my son on the cross for you guys, and I went through the same pain. So I know where you're going. I know how you're feeling. Don't be so bad about it.
The pain is still there, listeners, and it's. I'm glad we're not on TV, because we're all crying. But I can't begin to share your pain, and I don't think you'll ever get used to it. But again, I reiterate the fact that you've prepared to come on air and share your testimony and your pain. We really hope that will empower listeners that are going through their own pain, whether a loved one is terminally ill, whether they've lost a spouse or a child or another loved one, or just a close friend. Yes, a book is a great thing, and we can all read a book, but that's a very one-on-one personal interpretation. Other than prayer and the book, what other advice do you have for listeners that are going through pain, and they might not have lost a loved one recently, they might still not have had closure from many years ago? What advice do you have for listeners, in the sense of, what other support do they need to call on?
Well, this is where we are so excited about joining Sonia Smith's group, because the idea is to have care groups where people share their pain, and they discuss things, and they discover that how different people are coping with that, and that there is a way out, that there is hope. And it's through discussion, it's through interaction, it's through that you discover that you're not a lonely little island.
Yes.
And that is the way to move forward, and it's absolutely critical for healing. You know? And also, I would like to say that by reading through the book, it gives you, it shows you the way, it points the way to avoid the potholes that follow after such an event.
Mm.
And so many people can fall in those potholes and stay stuck for years and years and years. And we, through God's guidance, we've shown how to avoid those things.
Yes.
And come through strong in the end.
Mm.
Instead of being stuck for 20 years on unforgiveness, say, or whatever.
Mm. And as a family, a wedding is a celebration of life. It's a wonderful bringing of two together, and it's a beautiful life memory. To have Mark taken away hours later, murdered, how do you forgive those that have done this to you and him, taken him away and done this to your family?
Initially, I was very angry. My children were very angry. But you start to realize that it's not all about moving in a certain class, anyone is prone to crime in this country. Whether you're wealthy or poor, doesn't matter where you live, you can have it in a supermarket. And the criminal very often is in such a desperate situation that he is paid a nominal fee to do some horrific crime. He might be drugged, he might be full of alcohol, he's not in his right sense of mind. So you can't judge him as a premeditated murderer because he's doing a job maybe to feed his children. That's the feeling I immediately got. So there was never any hatred or bitterness towards the criminal because in this country we have such poverty and such wealth and such extreme. It doesn't make sense. And to me that was not an issue at all.
Okay. How do you, as a family, because the two of you have worked through the book and written the book and it's helped with your closure, but family and extended family and Mark's friends, I mean, you were telling me that some of Mark's friends are still battling with it. How do they get through this process and does one ever?
Well, we have Mark's birthday. We have a celebration for his best man. Nina comes through from Norway. We celebrate. We have parties. We share Mark's silly jokes and his idiosyncrasies. And we have fun because those are the moments that mean the most to us about Mark. He's still alive in our memories and we'll always remember him. The wedding anniversary is something a bit more personal.
I'm sure.
But we try and focus on the happy times.
Sure. Right. Listeners, we're going to take a very short break. We're going to listen to Groovy Kind of Love from Phil Collins, which Mark's parents have selected. It was was their first dance at the wedding. So in celebration of Mark's life, we're going to have some music, and then we're going to come back and talk about how you as a listener find your own way in dealing with losing a loved one, with the guidance of my wonderful guests who have generously come to share their experience, their love, and their support.
We got
The Methodist Homes for the Aged provides affordable, secure and caring accommodation and services to the elderly. We offer a wide variety of accommodation options in secure retirement villages, including rental units, life right units, frail and mid-care. We also offer specialized care for residents with Alzheimer's and dementia. Plan your retirement now. Contact us on 011-787-0330 or visit www.mha.co.za. At Methodist Homes for the Aged, people are our most important asset. Call 011-787-0330.
1485 AM.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back to 60 Plus. This is your host, Kelvin Glenn. With me in studio today is Dr. and Mrs. Sandman. And we're talking about the book that they wrote, Until We Meet Again, The Story of How God Restored a Grieving Family. And for those of you that remember, the story is around Mark, who was tragically murdered on the night of his wedding, hours after he had got married to the love of his life. And before the break, we were talking about just the journey they went through and the guidance and spiritual awareness and support they got to be able to turn such a tragedy into an opportunity to speak about it and hopefully help others who have gone through or are going through losing a loved one. The tragedy of your son being killed on your wedding night is unthinkable. But we also know that many listeners have lost loved ones and may have a loved one that's suffering a terminal illness. How does a family come together in a time of tragedy like this? And how did your family, we were speaking during the break, the importance of family in getting you through any sort of tragedy, let alone a tragedy of this size?
I must say I'm very grateful to our church, Branson Bible Church, who met with us on a regular basis, came even to our home, had tea with us, and we also had Hope for Healing that shared with us and went through all the steps of grieving with all Mark's friends, best men. And it was a wonderful healing journey that we processed. We still go through meetings on odd occasions when it's close to Mark's birthday or their wedding anniversary. And it's very important to be able to feel sad, to grieve, to be able to deal with those and to have family encourage you and say, right, I've also been feeling sad about this, because we are real people in the world and we are not a TV program that just play a part or a role. I'm a drama teacher, so I know that. But you have to be a real person, because your children and your friends can see through something that you aren't, and they need to know that you are a real person and you're feeling sad at certain things, and they can identify with that. People need to have that.
Thank you again for sharing. Dr. Salmon, Until We Meet Again, how did you guys come up with that title, and what does it mean to you that you will see Mark again, I'm presuming?
Well, that's very, very true what you say. In fact, that is what Christianity makes so. That's what makes Christianity so powerful, is that this is only our stay on this planet is only like a curtain raiser. Mm. The real stuff happens after, beyond the grave, and you're talking about eternity, which is a very long time. And what gives us enormous strength and power is that it's not over, that we are going to see Mark again. It's only, 75 years is 27,000 days. Mm. He lived for 10,000 days, but it's a short time. And then this is going to be the reunion of all reunions, because it's forever. On this earth, we have temporary reunions, and then we split up again. There we are forever. So we are looking forward to it, and it's only a temporary break. He's out of cell phone contact, but one day I can speak to him.
Now, we remind ourselves occasionally that Mark's in Australia, and the Skyping is bad. So.
It's so lovely that you can find humor and laugh about it. Where did you get your strength from to write this book? And going back to what you said about the family, as a father, as a husband, where did you find your strength to support your family and your friends and your other children through this trauma, and to write this book?
Well, it's I blame it to the manufacturer. God made us. and he wired us. And, you know, we know God. We've known him for about 30, 40 years now. And he is the most amazing, amazing person. And so he inspired me to write this book. And it's just all about his story. It's all about what he did. And it's so wonderful how he pulled us through the darkest moments of our life with the most amount of pain. And we want to just, we are so excited to try and touch others with his healing, with his comfort. And so we are very keen to help others who are suffering a similar fate. And yeah, so that's where our strength came from. It's God all the way.
Thank you. Pastoral care. We've spoken a bit about the role the church played in supporting the family during this, but you just shared during the break as well that you're helping a friend who's got a terminal illness. What is the role of pastoral care in helping those that are grieving or that are terminally ill in going through this process? And I'm sure you're still grieving, but how does pastoral care help?
It's so important to be sensitive to those people around you, because very often we're so busy being who we are that we aren't aware of our friends in a situation. It just could be a motor car accident, any form of trauma, that they are in a situation and their family are moving on, but they haven't got someone to talk to or to listen to them. And having done a Lifeline course, we have trained ourselves to be listeners and not just talkers, and share with people where they're at. And to see people saying, wow, I now no longer feel that sadness, I feel there's hope, to me, that makes me feel less sad, that we can actually see people recover from this situation. Because that's what life's all about, is lifting someone else up. When you are down, you are lifted up anyway.
Thank you for that. And how do we, for those listeners that maybe have not dealt with the grief of losing a loved one, whether it be a child or a partner or a spouse, what advice do you have for them to open that? Because so often we put a plaster or a bandage over the wound, and we were talking during the break that the trauma you went through, most of Mark's funeral has been blocked out because you were still in such shock and trauma, and obviously the media hype and the family, and you were supposed to be celebrating life, and here you're burying your son, and you know, you've got a brand new daughter-in-law, and you've got to support her. How do we get what advice do you have for a listener? What is the signs to look for if someone is trying to assist a friend or a loved one to open that wound, and also for a listener that possibly might feel that wound is closed? How do we open that wound, and what do we expect when that wound is open? Because we haven't been through this. We can't begin to know what you've been through.
Well, I think that it's very, very important for people to join a care group, and I'm sure that these details can be obtained from Calvin. But the whole issue there is that in a care group, an experienced person can guide the way of thinking of those people, because it's a battlefield of the mind. Mm-hmm. That's where the wrong thoughts can devastate you, can destroy you, and we would be there to guide and say, no, think along these lines, and then your healing can be accelerated. And also, of course, the aftercare, because that is critical. We stay behind. The ones that are gone are gone, and it's the aftercare that is so critical. And showing love and care and listening to each other makes an enormous difference, especially those who are lonely. And as I say, we bring God into it, we bring the word of God into it, and that alone will bring such healing, and it changes your way of thinking. And instead of having those dark thoughts where you think you're never going to get out of it, there is hope, there's healing, there's light, and it gives you such hope to continue.
Thank you.
And even connecting with a movie or with music or connecting with books that you've read, you need to connect with people where they're at, because we don't all walk the same journey, the same pace. And if you can connect, just having a tea party with some friends that are down, it can become a Bible study, it can become a sharing. As long as it's a positive input into their lives, you've achieved something.
And you've touched on something that I want to talk about before we end, and that is, don't you have bad days? Don't you still have days where you think you're angry?
I think I've moved beyond the anger part. Sometimes when I see happy married couples with children, I'd say, "Yoh, Mark would have made such a lovely dad." Mm. But then I've got two other grandchildren and two pooches that are now sandmans for the moment. But I'm grateful that I have that. They're dear friends of ours that have lost their only child. They have nothing. They've got no grandparents to look forward to. They might be adopted grandparents. There's always someone worse off than you. So I try and not become a victim of a situation because one can tend to have a pity party and think you're the only one that's feeling sad and down. But you know what? There's a world, a sea out there that are less fortunate than you. And let's start thinking about the bigger picture.
Well, yeah. I call them triggers. You know, you hear a song that Mark loved, and suddenly, you know, sadness will hit me because I will very, very much miss him. And you're never the same after this has happened. You've got a scar. But the point is, we are a living testimony of being fully functional members of society, being able to help others. And there are moments, of course, where you really miss him. And also the loss. And like, you know, you would have been over in London, then we would have called. I miss those plane flights and and seeing Mark in other parts of the world and, you know, and his camaraderie. Yeah.
So, listeners, if you have been inspired, and I hope you have, by the courage and the love and the unselfish giving that these two individuals have done in turning a tragedy into an opportunity to give back and help others. Until we meet again is a book that has been published. Where can listeners, if they want to find the book, where can they get hold of it or a website?
Yeah, it's www.dealingwithgrief.co.za.
Thank you very much. That website again, www.dealingwithgrief.co.za. Thank you, Dr. and Mrs. Sandman, and thank you, Sonia, for bringing them in and for sharing these wonderful people with 60 Plus and Radio Today. Listeners, if you want more information from us or you need to get hold of us, our number at Methodist Homes for the Aged, 011-787-0330. Our website, www.mha.co.za. This is Kelvin Glenn signing off. Thank you again to my guests for sharing and for your love. And I do hope that we've given our listeners some more support and hopefully be able to help them deal with current or future grief and loss that they'll be dealing with. So until next week on 60 Plus, this is Kelvin Glenn signing off. Thank you, be blessed and be safe.
Still need me? Will you still feed me?